it.
Welcome to Strata Stories. My name is Thomas Schreiber, and I'm the Director of Marketing here at Strata. Strata is a single EMR platform and a revenue cycle management service for physical, occupational, and speech therapy practices that helps you achieve a 99.99% reimbursement rate. On today's episode, Paul Singh, the CEO of Strata, talks with Jamie Schreier, the founder of Practice Freedom U. Jamie helps growth-minded practice owners build a more profitable business while working less hours in the clinic. Paul and Jamie talk through how to recruit and retain great employees, how to shift from reaction mode to intentional decision-making, and the impact of high-stress decision-making. If you'd like to learn more about Strata and see how our EMR and RCM works, head over to stratapt.com to book a demo. Now, without further delay, here's today's episode.
Does your business allow you to A, do what you want, B, when you want, and C, with who you want? And again, I might be wrong here, but I thought that, like, for me, a big part of that was, you know, obviously the, having the clarity as a practice owner to kind of want those things and make that decision. But then when where the rubber meets the road is somewhere in there, for a practice owner to not have to show up, it probably means that there's somebody that they employ that does. And so I'm going to leave this really broad. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on recruiting and retaining.
If you know, as you know, I'm probably more of a deeper thinker than a lot of people, just the people that I see out there. Yep. So I'm thinking less mechanically about how to. And I know that for some people, that's what they want. Like, just tell me what to do. There's so much information out there that's already telling you that, yet people are still struggling in their businesses. Mm-hmm. So you would have to think there's something more going on than just a formula of how to recruit better or how to retain better, right? That's how I think about these things. It's like, well, you know, I'm having trouble recruiting good people. Yes, I realize mm-hmm. that the market is not as saturated with people, but if I continue to have the same problems again and again, maybe it's how I'm approaching it. Maybe it's how I'm thinking about things. That's the issue versus some tool or some like special thing. So when I talk about control, the only thing all of us can have any influence over is what we choose to do, how we choose to respond. That's what any of us have. You and I were talking about, you know, you chose, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months ago to produce content, to produce consistent content, to work with Thomas on how to create things that's interesting to people, that is timely to people. See, these are all decisions you're making, and those decisions are then producing results, right? And of course, you can always learn different strategies how to improve it. So as business owners, we get to choose what we want to choose. We get to choose our own decisions. And I think that that's where we have to take ownership and accountability. So if we're not getting things that we want, if we're not building the business that we want, if it's not growing the way we want, if we're overwhelmed with too many activities, I think the first decision is, well, do you really want to delegate those activities? Do you really want to be in a place where you are not as busy, not mm-hmm. as crazy, not as there's enough drama? Like, is that what you really want? And you might smile and say, well, Jamie, doesn't everyone want that? And I would say, not necessarily.
Right.
Because
yeah.
if you're saying, I'm going to remove myself from some of the day-to-day administrative stuff, perhaps some of the treatment load, what you're saying is, I'm choosing to go into perhaps an uncertain and uncomfortable world. So who am I? What is my identity if it's not as a clinician in my business? Mm-hmm. That's a question. I don't know what your identity is. I know for me, I made that decision. And I said, you know what? I'm a business owner. I'm a healthcare entrepreneur. I want to help people. I want to help more people. I want to impact more people. And the way to do that is for me not to bottleneck the day-to-day stuff and hire and train good people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get comfortable moving into an identity that I had never associated myself with prior. I was associated with, Jamie, what do? I'm a PT. I'm a physical therapist. Okay, so your identity and your profession have become one and the same. You get lost in that. Then you become a business owner, but you're not really a business owner. You just have a business, but you're still treating, you're still doing everything. Your identity is still, I'm a PT. And then all of a sudden you get someone like me saying, do you want your identity to be something different?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, you have to make different choices. And the only thing you can control is the decisions that you make. So those posts that I'm sharing was really about you get to choose the life you want, the money you want to make, how you want to impact other people, your family. You get, but it's a choice. It isn't a victim of circumstance. You're choosing about things in your business. That's what that control really is. Because at the end of the day, I can't control insurance companies. I can't control the economy. I can't control any of that. I can control decisions I make. I can control the people I connect myself with, what I listen to, what I don't, you know, how much time and effort I put into learning the world of business. Like those things I can control. So that's really what those things were about. So with respect to retention or hiring, it's diving in deeper and saying, well, what are you doing to learn more about the people that you want to hire? How are you showing up genuinely, authentically, real to that person that will choose you over someone else? Or are you just showing up like you're just no different than everybody else? Just like when I had my practices, I literally grabbed my job ad from a hospital job ad because I assumed that they knew what they were talking about, not realizing that the person that wants to go to a hospital is going to be a very different person that wants to go to me. So I was naive, but I took kind of the easy way to do it. And now you don't have that easy way. You have to cut through the noise to connect with the person and make sure that what you're offering is something that they care about.
Right.
So that's how I approach the, you know, retention as well as the attraction.
See, and that right there, I think, and again, I say this with all respect in the world, I think that that, for example, that tactic where you sort of talked about, you know, back then you grabbed the job description from the hospital or whatever, and then you realize that that targeted the wrong type of employee. That's the kind of stuff where, you know, you probably take that for granted now because you learned it a long time ago. But somebody else listening to this that might be, you know, only a year or two into their practice is like, oh my gosh. Like we were talking to one of our other guests here recently, Justin Stiver. And one of the things, I don't remember how we got onto this topic, but we somehow started talking about employee, what do you call it? Like employee reviews and stuff like that. And somehow, just to paraphrase, he said, oh, well, look, every employee wants to be paid more. They all want a raise and they're not wrong for wanting it. But for me as a business owner, and again, I'm paraphrasing him, he said, but for me as a business owner, I can either choose to argue down with vague things, or I can actually just open the books and say, you treated this many patients, here's what the revenue was. And whether that, if that number justifies a raise and he can afford it, then of course he's going to do it. And if not, he can put a coaching plan. Obviously I'm paraphrasing, but the way he described it was just eye-opening. And like, again, conceptually, I get that. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But I hadn't yet heard a practice owner talk about, you know, specific tactic like that. And so all I'm saying is that what you just described there is really fascinating.
Yeah, I think you haven't heard too many people talk about it because it's a hell of a uncomfortable conversation to have. And people have uncomfortableness. I say people, owners, are uncomfortable with money to begin with. We are uncomfortable with money. We're uncomfortable speaking about money. We have different perspectives in our head that we think people, all they care about is money. They want to just make as much money from us without actually having to do the work. Like those are a lot of biases that we have. I'm not saying they're true or not true, but it's a bias. It's your perception of something, which if it's not true, it can go down a bad path. So, you know, when I shared with you, I learned about, you know what, if I'm not attracting the people that truly are part of, at the time, Schreier Physical Therapy, if I'm not attracting the right people, maybe it's how I'm messaging them. So it's having a realization and looking in the mirror and saying, well, Jamie, yes, there's a lot of reasons it could be, but perhaps one of the reasons it's you and how you're thinking about the person that you want and how you're communicating. You see, that's what happened with me after having either let go, fired, let go, or quit 25 people in 1 year, one calendar year. And my staff was only a staff of six. So I had four times my team be disrupted.
Right.
You can imagine what happens to income, revenue, profit, patient care, culture when you have that disruption. That all happened because of me and how I was communicating, how I was presenting, how I was positioning my business and all of that. So with the person that you're talking about, I'm not going to push back against that a little bit, but I'm going to say that, and I imagine he's already done this. Yes, you do not want to race to the bottom by continuing to get into the game of paying more. There's a great saying that says, whatever people come to you for, they will leave for the same reason. In other words, if they came to you because you paid them the most, they'll leave if someone pays them more. If they come to you because they like your culture, and let's say you don't actually deliver on that, they will leave for someone else that has a better culture. So if they come to you because you're giving them all this, whatever, the wellness benefit, whatever, the back and forth, the balance, they'll leave for someone that gives them even a better work-life balance. So having said that, how many people are actually saying, you know what, instead of having the conversation with your staff about how you can't afford to pay or getting into kind of pay for performance, which some people are doing, what if you first had the question with yourself, am I running an efficient enough business? Am I maximizing the revenues and the profits and streamlining my business where I can afford to pay them more? Mm-hmm. You see, no one's asking that question,
right?
Because we're assuming that our business is operating the best it can, because our ego sometimes is so big that we just assume we're making all the right decisions. Except when I have a conversation with a potential client and I start looking at their business, Paul, I've never found a business that wasn't losing at least $10,000 a month. And I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of businesses that I've done analyses for. So what does that mean? You actually are leaving money on the table in your business, not because the insurance company is going to magically pay you more. It's because there are efficiencies in your business that are not being realized. There could be best billing practices. There's utilization issues. And these are all being done on your watch because of what you're seeing in your business and the decisions you're making. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing at Practice Freedom U is we're helping people make better decisions and help people understand their business and looking at their numbers and not be afraid of them and able to see their staff. You see, if you had more money to pay your people and for you to get paid as well, then maybe you could pay your people more money reasonably. Then they'd be like, okay, I feel more valued, as well as giving them the other things.
Yeah.
If not, perhaps your business model is just not good enough.
Yeah.
And if they're not good enough, you're not going to keep the best people, because you have to pay people a fair amount. And fair is vague, I get it, but it's a fair amount. But if you're focusing on them as a negative, like, Paul, all you want to try to do is get me, you're just trying to look, you don't want to work, then your conversation with them is not going to come off right and all that. So I'm assuming the person right. you spoke to is running a very efficient business, and now they're comfortable enough to have this conversation with people around, look, let's be transparent about what we're doing. So
right. Yes. Yeah.
I get to those conversations with people a lot, and it's very eye-opening.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I think one of the things I've sort of, if I had to just summarize my sort of my learnings as we've talked to more and more people on this show over the last couple months, I would say that when it comes to practice ownership, there's hard skills and soft skills. And the hard skills are things like that you can Google. So I don't know, how should I recruit, or how should I? It's the hard skills are sort of like the tactical, practical things that, you know, sure. people write about or whatever. And I would say in terms of practice ownership, like some of that stuff's kind of written about and talked about, but some of that stuff's not. For example, how to read a balance sheet and a cash flow statement as a practice owner with aging receivables and stuff like that. That's not something people blog about or put on their YouTube yet. So that's a hard skill that you really kind of have to understand. When, to your point, when you're saying like, you know, you're leaving 10 grand on the table, I generally agree. I've yet to meet a practice owner where you look at the paper or the books and you're like, oh, this is perfect. Like, because that's just not, there's just not a lot of templates about that. I don't think there's a lot of CPAs out there yet that fully understand how to interpret that yet. It's just the hard skills aren't fully documented. But then there's the soft skills, and those are definitely not very well documented or available. And that's the stuff you sort of talked about here a few minutes ago. Like, how do you talk to somebody about money? How do you talk to them about performance? How do you talk about like the soft skills of the day-to-day conversations you're going to have?
Because there's nothing soft about them. But it's the skills that we are not really embracing. We're embracing, like you said, we're embracing tactics. We're embracing strategy. Why? Because when you are desperate, when you are in a place where, you know, I just need new patients, and someone comes across and says, I'll give you 30 patients in 30 days, right? They are hitting a solution to a problem that you're having, right? Easy peasy, clickbait. We've all seen it. And we're all getting tired of that kind of stuff, although it still works. Versus the mindset of, well, what if the problems that you're having is because of the decisions that you're making? And the decisions that you're making is because of the perspective that you have. And the perspective that you have is because of perhaps people that have influenced you, like professors and other people, that aren't actually the influences you want when you're talking about building your business. So what if you started shifting how you think about the problems you have, which would then lead you to make different decisions about them, which then would lead you to a different outcome?
Right.
In other words, what if you actually looked at the outcome that you have now and ask yourself the question, am I happy with this outcome or not? And if you're not, look in the mirror and say, you created this outcome. So how about I start focusing on how I'm making decisions around my business, because that's really the issue. Then you can start finding the strategy and stuff like that to help support what you're looking for. But if you're making a decision that goes down the right path versus the left path, and it's the left path you want, you could do all the correct things down the right path and still end up with the wrong outcome.
Yep.
This is something nobody's really talking about. We talk about tactics. We talked about how to do this. I'm not judging anybody and all that, because we all need all these things. But the problem isn't how you're answering the damn phone. The problem isn't how you're retaining your clients.
Yeah.
The problem is how you're communicating or retaining your staff. The problem is, well, how are you showing up to that meeting? How are you communicating to them? Are you spending time actually understanding where they're coming from, or everything is on your point of view and you want people to act the way you're viewing things? Because if that doesn't change, all the strategies in the world, all the technology in the world, there's a reason why it's called tools. Hammer's a great tool. It can bash your brains in, it can destroy a piece of furniture, or it could build a mansion. It's just a tool. You get to decide what it's used for.
Yeah.
Your business is a business. It can create the most amazing life for you, the most amazing life for your team, the most amazing services for your community, or it can create havoc in your world. It can keep you broke, stressed, overwhelmed, physically unhealthy, put you on medication and other, you know, substances. It can cause all kinds of stuff. Remember, you get to choose what you use this business for, and you get to choose the tools that you use, but it's all going to be perceived by you. You're the carpenter.
I think that if I had to summarize your message, and this is really just for myself, I suppose, but, you know, I think the thing is that, and I'll just start, I preface this by saying, by this idea that I agree with you in the sense that I think if people start a business and they skip past defining or at least talking about what a successful business looks like. And what they accidentally create is a job that is arguably worse than wherever they came from. And I think that to your point, before somebody picks up the phone and calls somebody to fix the front desk or fix this or fix that, I think it's sort of it starts by defining what you think is success. I've met some people where they're like, oh, I want to make X amount of money. I've met other people that are like, I just want to wake up when I'm done sleeping. And both of those are definable as success, but how you get there, to your point, is just very different. But unless you define that or at least talk about it, you're just going to kind of flail and make decisions and you're going to go on best practices, whatever that means. And you're going to find yourself don't way far off from where you want to be. I think I kind of want to. Well,
the best practices are not always what's best for you.
Right.
The best practices are typically averages, like benchmarks. They're just averages of the good and the bad. It doesn't mean it's applicable to you, your situation, where you are, your business model.
Right.
So even this idea, I just want to have best practices. What you're really saying is, I just don't want to make any mistakes. And if I do best practices, that's what I've been always told to do.
Yep.
Again, you're still not really thinking at a high level. And I think it's a lot of it's because of fear. Yep. You know, thinking at a high level requires independent thinking. One of the things that we move into a lot at PFU, which is why it scares some people, good, because I particularly don't want people that are easily scared, but the people that are really like, no, I'm willing to do what it takes to get to this life and this business that I want, is going out on a limb and being an independent thinker. You see, if you're doing what everyone else is doing, which is these Facebook groups kill me. I've been in the Facebook groups. I see the questions they're asking. The question itself is not the question that they really need to answer. But they get all these great answers for the question that they're asking. But it doesn't lead them down to where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because these groups, it's kind of like the blinds leading the blind. It's like some of these peer groups that are out there. And it's like, hey, I'm a part of the peer group. I go, yeah, but you're only as good as the people in the group. You'll never go past the people in the group. No one's pulling you up. No one's lifting a hand and pulling you up. They can only give you advice of where they are in their business. So if everyone's in a similar place, who's pulling you up?
Right.
This is why that we have small community groups, but it's being facilitated by a coach who can recognize when someone is thinking or giving advice that's not in the best interest of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been so clear to me for so many years. And I realized, like you said earlier, it's not clear to everybody, but it's the same exact thing we do as therapists. So if you're a physical therapy business owner, what are you doing? You see things in people. Yes, you see visually how they walk, but you're able to assess and put these things together and give people a plan that they can't see for themselves. They have access to Google. They have access to WebMD. They have access to all this stuff. Of course, they have lots of friends giving them advice, but they don't know their specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we do the same thing in our business as people are doing in the world of healthcare. Yet we want them to come to an expert because we can get them on the right path and get them better faster. And yet from a business standpoint, we're not taking our own advice. Interesting.
I think the summary of that part, though, I think is that 99% of the people offering advice these days probably mean well, but probably have no real credentials to be giving advice. So maybe that's a little bit too pointed or whatever, and I think about this a lot in the term. And when I think about, you know, just broader entrepreneurship, whether you're talking about a practice or a software company or whatever, it's like the joke I always tell people is if you just want a bunch of advice, you either need to own a business or you have a kid. You do either one of those things, and everybody's got an opinion for you now. They all mean well, but 99% of them are probably just either out of date and not relevant and not useful and all that. And then before I sound super cynical to anybody, I guess what I really then go on to say to a lot of the founders that I invest in is I say, like, look, who would you rather get advice from? Somebody that solved a problem that is very similar to yours yesterday, or would you rather take advice from somebody that claims to have done it 5 years ago or 10 years ago? everybody says they'd rather talk to somebody from yesterday, like, because they're looking for more practical, like more realistic, like that's more tangible to say, like, you solved this problem yesterday. It still may not be good for me, but at least we solved it yesterday. It's like, you know, anyway, I think this is very interesting because I think there's just a lot of parallels here, more so than people realize.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I've given strategic advice for, I've been doing this now for 11 years and just in the coaching world. You know, I've given people step-by-step tactical things of exactly what to do. Like I give away as much as I possibly can of information, right? I've done free delegation trainings. I've done free recruiting trainings and hiring. Like I tell people, this is exactly what you need to do. And yet I talk to those same people. I say, hey, have you been hiring some people? Or like, no.
Yeah.
I said, why not? Have you applied what I did? Well, yeah, but then I started focusing on something else. And so, you know, what I've come to realize is that it doesn't matter how much information is out there. It doesn't matter if you give people exactly what to do. Without accountability, without having guidance from someone not in the shit that you're in, like they can't be in the thing. They have to be outside of it. And they have to understand how to ask questions and pull out of you certain information to then guide you to where you want to go. We can't do this on our own, but you know what? Mm-hmm. We've done so much on our own up to this point. It's difficult. It's difficult to allow our ego. That was my problem. My ego said, but I'm really smart. I've been told I was smart. You know, I got tons of credentials after my name. Yeah. Right. I wasn't getting the results I wanted in my business. I wasn't having the life I wanted in my business. And eventually I had to put my tail between my legs and go ask for help. Thank God I did, or I wouldn't be on here right now. I'd be struggling or probably in a whole nother profession, just struggling and eking out a life. And I think that that's where the bigger issues I think come from is our ability to, are you willing to be a student of your business? You were a student of your craft. But are you willing now to be a student of your business? I think that's the first issue, is are you willing to get help? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, then, is what you were saying is there's a lot of people out there trying to help, all good manner, you know, goodwill, you know, they believe in what they're doing. But then it's a matter of connecting with someone who you resonate with, mm-hmm. and making sure that you're not just solving a problem, but you're kind of looking back at what's really going on here and how do I focus on something that's really going to move the needle? I mean, we've had crazy results at Practice Freedom U with our clients, like not 5% or 10% or even 20%. We're talking people doubling, triple, quadrupling their business. I mean, there's one client that I'm actually going to be doing an interview case study with her at the end of this month. Unbelievable, Julie, that was, I don't want to give all of it away, but she was $500,000 in debt and growing. Less than 18 months later, she made $800,000. That was last year. You tell me you follow some step-by-step strategy to make that massive turnaround. It doesn't exist. There are principles you follow, there's concepts, and there's strategies, but the difference was what she focused on, how she thought about things, and how all that shifted in communicating with her team. Like, that's transformation, mm-hmm. not just a transactional, you know, let me just do a little bit of thing. So I'm kind of going off on a lot of things here, but I'm just so like, everyone can do this. Everyone wants to help more people. There's plenty of people out there to help. But man, we got to start looking at ourselves and like, what makes you so like, you understand how this business works and how you think about your business. Once you get to that, it's much easier to then apply the things that are available.
Right. Out of curiosity, I know I don't want to be too nosy here, but just when you think about, obviously, to go from $500,000 in debt to almost $1 million in profit within a year is no, there's not just one magic bullet that caused that.
I've never been a turnaround like that before.
Yeah, but like if you had to kind of like if we were talking to this person or watching them like a fly on the wall, a lot of your conversation today has really been about the practice owner deciding what they want to do and what they want that life to look like and all that. Just in broad strokes, what was like that mental shift that that person made? You know, was it being fearful of something? And then all of a sudden, like, again, I don't want to trivialize what they did. High level theme. What was the big change that facilitated that sort of turnaround?
The first thing we had to do is get her out of reaction mode. You see, her decision-making is what brought her into this world. The decision she made about her staff, the decision she made about the system she put in, the decision she was making day to day, the decisions she made about some of the loans that she got, it was all based on reaction. And you can imagine that there's a lot of emotion when you run a business. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of anxiety. So when you're making decisions based on those emotions, then the decisions you make, chances are they're not going to be in the really the best interest of where you're trying to go. Now, you could justify decisions, which we all do, to make them sound good. Like, we can make a decision fit into our own proverbial box. But what I was doing immediately was assessing how she was making decisions in her business. And that's what we started to look at and saying, and we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks on our thing, interview, but it was like, do you realize that the decision you're making is not going to lead you where you want to go? Where is this coming from? Well, Jamie, I'm just worried. I'm just like, I just need them to do this. And I said, okay, so you want your staff to operate like this. How have you communicated clearly the expectations? Well, I probably haven't been clear. And I said, well, how about we do this? How about we just get really clear on what's expected of them and what they can expect of you? How about we start there with your leaders? She goes, okay. Then all of a sudden she starts having conversations with them and all of the stuff that starts to come up that they were confused about certain things. They didn't know where she was coming from. She would say this, then do this. So then they lost trust in her. Mm-hmm. So they kind of sit back and waited for her just to do everything.
Right.
Even though they were good people, but they were like, she's all over the place.
Right.
So these things started to come up as we started to just focus on how she was making certain decisions around staffing, hires, expectations, obviously diving into looking at, well, how do you make a decisions around who you give a raise to? Well, I feel like they deserved it. I go, well, how do you determine when you feel like they deserved it? I said, well, I don't know. I go, well, how about we just get clear on that? Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is about getting really clear and intentional about the decisions that we make versus emotionally reactive in the moment. And then having that decision you make come back to bite you worse than the original problem was.
Right.
It's worse than the problem.
Right.
Because we react to it because we're so darn overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. That's how I work and my coaches work with pretty much every client that comes to us, because every client comes to us overwhelmed. Nobody comes to us having everything figured out. Jamie, I want this. I can't do it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm all over the place. Can you help me create a plan and move through and catch me when I'm kind of going off the rails? Sure. So that's how we're coming from it. Once you have clarity, then yes, there's lots of different strategies on hiring and retention and create business model and profitability. I mean, we all need those things, hiring and marketing, but we're typically making those decisions in a very high stressful moment.
Right.
That we're justifying that that's what's best. And that decision creates a bigger problem. So imagine how many decisions a business owner is making every day and every week that a month later, 3 months later, 6 months later, and a year later, those decisions have caused havoc in the business. But because we don't remember making those decisions, we then have to justify why it's happening. So what do? We join the rest of the world and we start blaming it on all these other companies and situations. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not here to say insurance companies are this, like, they're pieces of shit, if you want to ask me. But they are who they are. So let's not be surprised by it. Let's make decisions that are in best interest of our business and our practice and our vision and stop wasting so much time blaming them, because that's not helping you. Mm-hmm. The same goes for the Medicare cuts. The same goes for competition. The same goes, there's not enough people out there. look, I get it. But that's 99.9% of the reason. That's not the reason why you're in the place you're in. Those are just circumstances. And the smart, adaptable business owner entrepreneurs are thriving right now. But nobody hears about them because they're not in your Facebook groups.
Right.
They're not trying to tell you and teach you stuff. They're just focusing on their business and having an amazing life.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Strata Stories. Strata is a single EMR platform and revenue cycle management service for physical, occupational, and speech therapy practices that helps you achieve a 99.99% reimbursement rate. If you'd like to learn more about Strata and see how our EMR and RCM works, head over to stratapt.com to book a demo.